pray for me that I can say what needs to be said in 10 minutes. Let's pray. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Let's go for 8 minutes. This week when I was reading in the Parsha, I took notice of one thing in particular. It was the statement about sin that is described in chapter 4 of Leviticus. And it says at the beginning of that chapter that one person may sin unintentionally. Is there anybody in the room who sinned unintentionally? You've had that experience? And it says even that the anointed priest may unwittingly sin in what he's supposed to do. And then it says something really interesting. It says that it may even be that the entire congregation of Israel, the whole community of Israel, sins unintentionally and does something that goes against the will of God and violates one of his commandments. And that's the one that really got my attention. And I'll tell you why. I was thinking about an argument that many of you may have heard. Every Jewish person who believes in Yeshua has heard this argument. It's the argument that Yeshua could not be the Jewish Messiah because if he were, all the rabbis would agree. It said the argument goes that if the rabbis don't all agree that he's the Messiah, he couldn't be. Now, many Jewish people who say that don't agree with what the rabbis say about anything else. And in fact, if you look at the current state of affairs for the Jewish people and for all the different forms of Judaism, different kinds of rabbis can't even agree whether the other one is Jewish. And so we have Orthodox rabbis who are saying that Reform rabbis aren't really Jewish, and even going so far as to say that conservative rabbis are not kosher enough to marry someone. And for that reason, in Israel, conservative rabbis and Reform rabbis cannot perform a wedding. Conservative Jews and Reform Jews have to either leave the country to get married and then come back, or they have to submit to an Orthodox rabbi to perform the ceremony. And so you've got all these people saying they're not kosher. They're not really Jewish. But when it comes to Yeshua, the argument goes, if he really was the Jewish Messiah, don't you think all the rabbis would know? And when I was reading this passage from Leviticus today, I thought, well, this explains it. It's possible for the entire community to be wrong. Now, that's not my idea. That's what Moses wrote. And it must be for a good reason, right? Not for something petty, but for something big and something serious. Now, the moment you understand that you can be completely wrong, it introduces humility. And so I'm of the mind that all of us need to be equipped so that if we are confronted with this argument, we can help the person arguing against Yeshua be humble and respectful rather than proud and arrogant. Does that sound like a good goal? So that means you don't just beat up such a person. Why do I say that? Because God gives us the pattern for how you handle people when they're unintentional in their sin. And the pattern is you show mercy to them. Anyway. So God does not reject Israel simply for this capacity for unintentional sin. And he doesn't reject you. or me, because we have that capacity. And so you know what that means? Probably in the room right now are people who are unintentionally sinning, in addition to all the people who are intentionally sinning. So you might smile at someone who you're not accustomed to smiling at and say, you're in good company, because you're in the company of sinners. Because if Israel didn't sin and the nations didn't sin, we wouldn't need a Messiah. We wouldn't need a priesthood. We wouldn't need offerings and sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. So I think we need to get both humble and bold at the same time. Humble enough not to press people, and bold enough not to let them press us. I would encourage you to be able to stand your ground and to have something to say to anyone about Yeshua. And to be able to say it in a way that is kind, and in a way that is gentle, and in a way that's true, and in a way that's interesting. So tonight, I just want to encourage you, don't fall for the argument yourself. Because there's still a temptation that I think many Messianic Jews, and not just Jews, but Gentiles too, face. It's the temptation to believe that the rabbis who do not believe in Yeshua must be right. And there's a temptation. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The temptation? Yeah. So it's possible for all those rabbis to be wrong and still be good people, and still be kind, and still have a heart towards God, but still not understand everything. It's still possible, right? Okay. So if the high priest can sin unintentionally, then certainly a rabbi can sin unintentionally. And if Moses says the whole Israelite community could sin by doing what's forbidden, and then listen to this, even though the community is totally unaware of the matter, they're still guilty of the sin. And it says, when they become aware of the sin they committed, the assembly must bring an offering, and it describes the sin offering, and present it. So doing what's forbidden, unaware of the matter, not realizing their actions are wrong, still being guilty. And then it says, when they become aware. Say that with me. When they become aware. I like that optimism that God is expressing to us at this moment. When they become aware. That's not the same as if they become aware. When they become aware. It gives me encouragement too, that there are whens in my future and in yours too. And there are things I don't understand and things you don't understand and things that haven't yet instructed me or you in the ways of God's wisdom. But when I become aware, I want to do them. So I just found it really useful for me tonight. I can imagine conversations in the future where I'm going to need this. And someone is going to say to me again, well, if what you believe is true, then certainly all the rabbis would agree. And I'll say, certainly not. Because it's possible to be completely wrong. Now, there's a second argument that just I was talking to someone who's facing this right now because her campus rabbi was is uncertain how to deal with her because she's a Messianic Jew. And so he spent some time being nice, and then he got to the end of that. And he said even a confusing thing. You've gotten further with me than any Messianic Jew has. And she doesn't even know what that means. And he was saying, you can't be a Jew and believe Yeshua is the Messiah. Because the moment you believe that, you stop believing in the Jewish Messiah and you're believing in the Christian Messiah. Have you ever heard that argument? You have to know how to dismantle that argument. Okay, so here's the main proof that the Messianic Jewish idea of Messiah is wrong. It's that there's not world peace. Because when Messiah comes, he's going to bring world peace. Have you heard that? Okay. Have you ever heard a rabbi or another Jewish leader use that argument to explain that Yeshua couldn't be the Messiah? So Christians can believe in him, but Jews can't. Because when Jews think about Messiah, we think there must be world peace. That's what Messiah brings. There are probably some people in this room who were tempted to either not trust Yeshua or to waffle in their confidence in him because of this one point alone. So it's not Jewish to believe Yeshua is the Messiah because the Jewish Messiah brings world peace. That's the argument. And so the moment you believe in that other kind of Messiah, it's not a Jewish thing. So you stop being Jewish. So don't call yourself a Jew. Let's just attack that argument for a minute, if you don't mind. Okay? Here's how I attack it. I say, well, now, if what you're saying is true, then the Chabad, the Lubavitch, Orthodox Hasidic Jews are all Christians, according to the logic. How can you say that? I'll tell you why. Because at least half of the Chabadniks believe that Menachem Mendel Schneerson, their rabbi, is Mashiach. However, according to the rabbis, there's not world peace. Right? And so they must not believe in the Jewish concept of Messiah. They must believe in the Christian concept, according to that argument, right? So all of you who have fellowship with Chabad, you can introduce this idea to them. That according to at least one campus rabbi, they can't be Jews. They're not Jews. They're something else. Now, isn't that fun? Now, I'm not saying you're going to win the argument, but you have to be able to stand your ground. And you have to be able at least to counter illogic and not to be afraid of wrong-headed arguments. Now, I can understand someone saying, I just don't get Yeshua. But to argue that he can't be Messiah isn't right. He either is or he's not. Opinion doesn't really change anything. Are you with me? Okay. So we have to learn how to stand our ground in order not to be shaken ourselves, and how to treat others with respect and to demand that they treat us with respect as well. Does that make sense? Okay. That's all the stuff that's stirring in me. I don't know where that came from. Other than reading this week and saying, everybody can be wrong. God can still want them to be in right fellowship, but they can be wrong. So I don't need to submit to that peer pressure when they're all wrong. makes me feel better. I don't know. Is there at least one other person in the room who feels better? Yeah, I've got a handful. Yeah. The rest of you, you know, you go home and have some coffee. Maybe that'll help. Well, what was really on my heart tonight was to pray for Japan and for the nations in turmoil. Another thing was just to open up this idea, these two arguments that we need to learn how to address. Even if I haven't given you an exhaustive treatment of those, it's important to be able to engage people in their argument in order to treat them seriously, but also in order to respond to their way of thinking. And I have the pleasure of having some good relationships with different rabbis who communicate in different ways. And sometimes it's just a lot of fun to tackle these issues together and not come away shaken. So far, I've done some shaking and I haven't been shaken. So, like 2 points for our side. I'm just being silly in this. But I don't want you to be shaken or to be easily disturbed. How many of you would like more confidence in the ability to dialogue honestly without getting into fist fights or arguments just, you know, that put pressure on people to cause the intensity to get stronger and the lack of communication to get worse and worse? How many want to be able to communicate at peace with people who don't necessarily agree with you, but they're engaging you even if they're not engaging in a polite way? So if you want that, just stand up. I want to pray for you. Lord, you sent us your word that teaches us to be ready in season and out of season, and to always be prepared to give an explanation for why we have hope and why our hope is rooted in the very resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. To declare our confidence in the God of Israel, and our certainty that you are forever faithful to the Jewish people. I pray, Lord, for us as a community, for every individual in this room, that we would receive that peace that belongs to you, that fills our heart up, that we would receive understanding, that we would be willing to engage with people even when the arguments are tough. And let it be, Lord, that we can stand our ground and not be shaken. And let it be, Lord, that we can listen and we can interact. And we can speak to others without interrupting them or overwhelming. But that we can truly discuss what is true and not. Thank you for filling our hearts with confidence. Let us go out on this Shabbat, this Erev Shabbat, with confidence in you. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'era Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace.